Welcome into the Real Kipper and Show after a super weekend. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McGee, Derek Brandeo, Jake Schultz with you. Schultz. Jake the Snake. Am I choking or is that just Kansas City?
A lot of Kansas City choke job jokes today.
Yeah. Well, listen, plenty to get into. This is a two-hour program. We'll continue on our Leaf Edition this hour. Wherever you're watching, listening, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. Glad you are aboard. And then we'll go into our national hour where we'll welcome in Jason Bukla. Always great to have him and his scouting expertise. Plenty to get into as we go into Four Nations this week. Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
In the meantime, we should clean up so far the Toronto Maple Leafs season up until this point, more specifically Saturday night against a Vancouver Canucks hockey club where they could have found themselves still with a point or two. Not saying that they deserved one, because right. I certainly didn't think that they did. Did not like their game in particular. But leaving yourself on the fourth game of a Western road trip where you could still manage to squeeze something out was not bad.
Not bad. Yeah, well, we'll give it a hard not bad on that.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty to go through in terms of who you liked, who you didn't like, and all that. But you zoom out, four-game road trip against some pretty good teams. You get 6 points. I think a lot of people looking towards the break at that point. I don't know. The last couple games of that trip, not exactly the most thrilling hockey. Maybe that was just me, but...
Yeah, I think you pair the fact that a lot of these guys realized that they were about to go on a long break with it being the last game of a four-game Western road trip, that you maybe saw the result of that a little bit throughout that game, especially with maybe some of the Leafs stars that were potentially looking forward to Four Nations face-off game, where I didn't think any of them were particularly good, so maybe that had something to do with it, but...
Even that, Sammy, it's 1-1,
yeah.
And Willie has a breakaway 7 minutes left in the game, like, it could have...
Puck rolls off his stick, for sure. They were in the game, they, you know, played hard, I guess, whatever, but I think a lot of them were kind of looking ahead a little bit. Didn't you get that feeling?
A little bit.
Yeah.
You want to go to Craig Berube's assessment of the road trip?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. We'll start that on our first Kippers Clipper of the week.
Yeah, very satisfied. I thought that, you know, we played really good hockey tonight again. You know, it was a competitive game. I thought they were a little bit better than us in the first, but I thought we were the better team in the second, and third was pretty even. But, you know, they're a good team over there. They work extremely hard, and I thought our guys were very competitive tonight, and the effort was there.
Yeah, I didn't see the same hockey game he saw.
No. What do you disagree
with? I just thought... We do not agree.
I thought Vancouver was better, harder on pucks, mm-hmm. spent more time cycling, just hungrier. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's the end of a road trip to, you know, your point or Sammy's point, that big picture stuff, okay, I get that. Yeah. But I didn't particularly like their game Saturday.
Best player on the rink might have been Elias Pettersson, guy who's much maligned, old EP40. I thought he had the puck a lot for the Canucks. You know, and the top guys on Toronto weren't top guys. You know, we've
been saying that a lot.
Think so?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like they need them to score. They don't win.
Yeah.
And they had a night where I didn't think they were great. Tavares, Willie, Marner, combo.
Totally.
Didn't work.
No. Didn't.
And you have to take into account that the Leafs literally never win this game. They've lost 8 straight at Vancouver.
Yeah. No, like it's bigger than that too, Sammy. It's like 17 of 19 or something. Yeah, going from way back, they've been terrible.
They played a few extra, obviously, during the COVID
thing. I
hate
that you even brought that up.
Never beat them.
Because it's not this team isn't the same team as the one that's lost six times before that. So what you're going through is more of a fan energy
random statistic
crapola excuse.
there are certain things in sports that are trends that just happen. Like, I mean, the Leafs have won every game at Edmonton for however many years.
But I'm with Kip. I typically, one of my least favorite stats is historic record versus a team. It's like, okay.
And when was the last time they went in and had the type of goaltending that Wall or Stolarz has given them the whole year?
Yeah. Well, they've also had different players. Totally.
I'm just pointing out that they have lost 8 straight games there.
Yeah. Thanks.
That's a long, they don't lose, like their record against pretty much everybody is pretty good in the regular season. Like they have long winning streaks against a lot of franchises. For them over this era to have 8 straight losses in a barn,
it
is a noteworthy
anomaly. It's wow.
And it's
holy smoking Joes. Anyway, let's talk about the game.
And it's the worst thing in the world is if you continually thinking that you're going to have conversations like they could have easily lost if it wasn't for Joseph Wall. Mm-hmm. They could have easily lost if it wasn't for Stolarz. They weren't better Saturday night. They deserved to lose, and they lost.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be the way it should work.
Right.
So I'm kind of glad for them that, you know, they're not having another way to go back and say, wow, Joseph Wall was unbelievable and saved the game. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to come out of this Four Nations. Don't know whether or not the roster will be completely the same as the one you have now. Who knows what happens between now and, I don't know, February 22nd.
First game back against Carolina.
Against Carolina. Will they have a new look? Will there be a centerman in the lineup or not?
Yeah. I know they technically can trade, Kip, but it sounds like they don't want them to trade the league, right? This is the NHL's baby. They want the attention on it.
So if there's a deal that I want to make now, or I don't want to give a team much longer than 24, 48 hours to think about it or shop or like they're talking.
Yeah.
Okay? They're going to talk every day.
And you want to get someone in and set up if you can do it.
Part of making an NHL trade, and a big part, is respecting the opposition to have some time to think about it, but not a ton of time to think about it, and then moving on. I believe that someone's going to, with so many teams in it, and the competition to get players with so many teams in it, I can see one of them going, Gary, I'm sorry, but I just apologize, but I needed to make this trade, and I needed to make it now.
And I wonder if now is not the right time, like Monday today or Tuesday tomorrow, like the tournament gets going Wednesday. Could do it now.
Yes.
Right this second.
Scott Laughton, rumors circling.
What's that old saying?
Swirling, if you will.
Begging for forgiveness is easier.
Don't ask for permission. Yeah. Or something like that.
Permission and forgiveness.
Better to beg for forgiveness than ask for permission. I'll stop.
Correct. You nailed it on your final attempt.
You did. So they've got, you know, if Tree Living worked at Walmart, he'd have a cleanup in aisle 7. We know that.
And the cleanup is?
The roster. The play.
How much of a mess?
Well, yeah.
Carton eggs on the floor?
You can't score. You either score 6 like you did the other night, mm-hmm. or you score 2.
Or 1.
Or 1.
Watching that game on Saturday night, and, you know, the scoring clearly has been something where it's been really up and down, like you mentioned. But outside of the top 4 guys, if you go into the playoffs with the way your D-core looks right now, you're going to have 12 to 13 minutes of either Benoit, Timmins, Myers, whoever it is playing on your bottom pair. And I know you shouldn't get too bent out of shape about the bottom, but I got to tell you, like that bottom pair on Saturday night with Benoit and Myers, and just having to overplay these other guys, that I know they need scoring, but that D-core to me, and you mentioned this before the show, but one of your top 4 guys goes down, you're immediately got Myers in the top half of your D-core. It's just, they really do, to me, need an upgrade on the D-core, like quite badly, in fact.
I think what's interesting is because they don't have a number one D, because they don't have that top dog, they really need to be great by committee. Morgan playing better, which we'll talk about, I'm sure. Yeah. McCabe, OEL, Tanev, any of them go down all of a sudden, it's too many seat fillers and not enough guys. So
they need, and they need another threat back there. And Morgan's starting to come along, right?
Offensive threat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Morgan's starting to come along. You can see him more involved.
Great trip for him.
He's thinking quicker. He's moving quicker. He looks quicker. He looks like he's anticipating where to be. Better timing.
He's just starting to skate and then figure it out. The first step is happening.
But outside of that, now who's your second biggest threat? OEL. I'm watching OEL take some bad penalties this year.
I think he leads the team in minors.
You know what stunk about that play? Is that he was a great play.
He was good on Saturday, I thought.
Or the bad penalty.
I thought he was good.
And then somehow they find a way to score when he's in the box, too.
Yeah, there's got to be some stat on that, although it would just be randomness as well.
He's taken at least five or six penalties where I've seen him with a shameful skate across drop the puck at center ice.
Come on.
So, you know, the really easy trade to talk about, and you know there was rumors swirling over the weekend about Scott Laughton, and the guy that a lot of people are throwing into that conversation naturally on the Flyers is Ristolainen, right? Who's going to be? I think he's missing. He's missing the Four Nations due to injury, so I'm not sure. But like, is that the threat you're looking for? Has he ever scored 10 goals in his career? Like, that's not the threat you're looking for.
I think
for.
He scored
more of the same
18 2 years ago.
Really?
So many.
18 2 years ago. And
No.
Scott Laughton?
Ristolainen.
Yeah. No, I'm on.
Last year, Ristolainen had one.
I'm on Scott Laughton right now.
Yeah.
That's not high enough for me.
Okay.
You need to go get a guy that can push John Tavares potentially out of the second slot.
Who's that going to be?
Shen, Cousins. Mm-hmm. That's a high-end move. Scott Laughton has scored 18 goals once in 10, 12 years. The rest of the time, it's 10 goals, 11 goals.
He had 13 in 82 goals. Games last year.
13.
He's at 11 this year, though. He's on pace for 19.
It's not high enough for me.
I'm with you.
If you're watching, I guess it depends on what you're trying to do. But like, this team has been running out Pontus Holmberg at second line center and third line center. And,
yeah, you're better.
He plays. Like, can you picture yourself in the playoffs running a line at some point? You're going to move Willie up and down. I understand that, but with Willie McMahon or Scott Laughton or Tavares McMahon, you know, like I think you get bogged down in trying to find somebody who's better than Tavares. I mean, Tavares is a point-per-game player who's been shooting into the net a ton. Okay, he's got over 20 goals.
But what happens if Tavares gets hurt?
Well,
what happens if he twists the knee? Who's stepping in? You've lost confidence in Max.
Yeah.
So who?
I don't know.
Right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Owl edition of our show.
Yeah. No, that's very real issue that needs addressing.
That's an issue here, right? You're talking about a 34-year-old centerman who's okay, right? We're not sure. He's not a great playoff performer.
Yeah.
No, never been out of the first.
Yeah, once.
Never been out of the second round.
Correct.
Yeah, let me ask you a question.
You need backup there.
Long term for the Leafs, you like Cousins more than Shen. I think for sure you'd say yes to that.
With their 10 years difference in age.
Short term, this year, which guy gives them a better chance to win the Stanley Cup?
Shen.
But I don't think Shen is better than Tavares is right now. Like, I think we're underrating Tavares.
I think you're talking about different occupants.
I'm talking about style of play in the playoffs.
Okay.
That guy, Sammy, that guy goes against Bennett.
I understand.
Okay?
I completely understand what you're saying here, but like, I think you're a better team if you have John Tavares is your second line center than Braden Shen at his age, too. Like, I think they're very, it's a different conversation,
one's
I guess.
A proven playoff.
For sure.
Stanley Cup champion. The other guy told you has never seen the light of day of a third round.
I understand what you're saying. I just, you know, I really do think that Tavares is being underrated in this conversation. And you're talking about him not, he's been the most durable guy in the Leafs over this whole time. He's played almost every game they've had.
And if you need
one freak injury.
If you need to start Shen at the third line.
Yes, sure. Then we're talking.
And or you want to put him on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that too. But I'm saying that if it falters, if you need to change things up, you need to slide a guy right into that second hole. And I'm not sure Scott Laughton does it for you.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah, I think Shen is the short-term solution. He's, you know, also on pace to be just under 20 goals this year, but we know he gives you a different type of minutes than most guys.
The other thing, too, and listen, I'm not firing John Tavares, okay? I'm not telling you to get rid of him before the mm-hmm. season's over, but if you also get a guy like Shen or Cousins, it gives you tremendous flexibility to say to John, if you want to come back, here's the number mm-hmm. and here's your role, but you're not second line centerman next year either. As you turn, 35? It's time to move on.
So, yeah, I don't think next year, if Braden Shen is your second line center versus John Tavares, you're a better team. Like, I mean, Braden Shen's older
Matthews,
too.
Shen, you're a better team.
Okay. I mean, he's almost 34
okay.
years old.
You can disagree.
I do disagree.
Yeah, I'd say that's 100% a stylistic preference.
Yeah.
Like, you know, shocking playoff stats. Tavares has 23 playoff goals in 62 games. Shen has 11 in 70 games. You know, they're very different offensive outputs.
Very different.
But I know what you're talking about. You're talking about something different.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right. So,
be a huge help to this team.
Thoughts on Marner, Tavares, and Willie while we're at it.
Yeah, nothing there. Nothing there. Did they have any moments where you're like, ooh, like, I know they barely played together. It was like five periods or something like that. But there was no moment where it seemed like we got something here.
We have a clip from the coach on it. Would you play clip two, please, Derek?
You know, I don't know. It was two games, or not even full two games. But I think just for me, you know, a lot of it is a guy getting in there in a forecheck and getting to the net and just being that kind of rock, you know. They all want the puck a lot. It's a lot, you know. But, hey, it wasn't a big sample size. So I made the switch right at the end of the second period and just kind of juggled some lines in the third a little bit.
If these three cannot play together and look good, mm-hmm. then you're really limited. Really limited.
Well, I actually disagree. I just feel like at least you can spread them out. Like, they're no better as a line than they are with two of them and whoever.
Where are you spreading them?
Well, I mean, take any one of them and put that guy in the third line, and the second line is no worse and the third line's better. Like, they give you nothing out of that. So could Willie play with
third line?
Yeah, can Willie play with
no
McMahon and Domi? Can
maybe short term,
can
but like
Marner play with them?
It won't be enough.
No,
it won't be enough.
No, I agree, it's not enough. But there's nothing there for them to get.
Like I said, it limits you.
Yeah,
but did you?
It's an option you can't use. So yeah,
did you see anything out of them that would be like,
no.
Yeah, no, me
no.
neither.
I did
neither.
Not.
Nothing.
It's a really good point. Just like who?
Like,
you got to tell them not
to
dump the puck because no one can go.
And then you're right back to Matthews and Marner. I know you wrote that article last week on how it's either this look or you got to go find another look.
Yeah. Last year going into playoffs, who was it with Matthews? Domi and who?
Bertuzzi. Yep.
You know, can you do pairs of Willie and Matthews, Marner and Tavares again and, you know, go from there? Or can you try three lines? We've only been saying that for 5 years. Could we try three lines? But
I don't.
You go to jail if you do that.
I think
not allowed.
You know,
that.
And I'm not going back, but I am going to go back. If you have another highly skilled kind of guy in the middle, wow, it opens up way more options now.
Absolutely.
That's where they're just handcuffed a little bit.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
Yeah.
Totally on board. Everyone's a yes on that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just...
Will they try the line again? Should we listen to them?
That's a great clip. Why don't we play that?
Ruby?
Yeah.
Would I try it again? Yeah. Maybe. Who knows, right? We'll see down the road what happens and where it goes. I mean, you're always kind of moving guys around a little bit and trying to find a little more offense. You know, we couldn't find a back in the net enough tonight.
Remember when somebody asked Keefe about playing? Remember they played Sandin and Morgan Riley together? He's like, "Will that be a look that you'll go back to?" No.
Yeah.
And then he literally never did it ever again.
I've seen enough.
Matthews, Tavares, and Willie, like, they're really highly skilled guys. Like, they should be able to kind of figure it out, but I think it was just before Willie's breakaway. Mm-hmm. Like, they gave up a 140-foot three-on-two, you know?
Yeah.
It could easily have been in the Leaf net, and Willie doesn't get an opportunity to hang back. Mm-hmm. And poach.
Yeah, it does change things.
I don't know. Like,
maybe Matthews, if they're doing a super line, Matthews at center changes that, and one of those other guys plays with the other best two guys. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like super line's a great option.
No, for this club. You know, they're trying their best to make the Domi thing happen with Nyes, and like, I think he's looked somewhat better, I guess, because he's playing with good players. He ends up with an assist, but like, it's just not. It's not
second power play.
It's not. It's not undeniably great where you have to keep going back to it. So
you guys remember the play against the Flames where he got the puck in the slot and turned away from the open slot?
Yeah.
It's just like, Kip, all these guys you're talking about, these big salary guys, Max is in trouble here. Like, he makes, was it 3.75?
They got to move some money. You can't go get a big name centerman without moving money out.
Someone has to go.
And I don't know. Were they showcasing Max a little bit, playing on the top line?
Or if not showcasing him, just being like, this worked last year with Matthews. Can we find out if we can use it? And I'm not saying, you know, it needs to happen. I'm saying that if you're looking at a big name and money has to go out, it doesn't take long till you end up there.
Yeah.
Like, just do the math. That's all. It's not even opinion.
Yeah.
Just do the math.
It might still not be enough to get his 3.5 out. You might have to tack on another Holmberg or...
Thing is,
I tell you what, if I was any team and Toronto's knocking on my door, I'm asking for McMahon.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
They're just not doing that.
No, they're not doing that. They're not. But
how about you?
But
that thought crossed my mind today.
When you start talking about anything past Easton Cowan or Minton, you're like, I want something that I like. I'm not taking your trying to get rid of guys.
Yeah.
It gets a little tricky.
I mean, it would be so leafy for them to trade literally the only guy they've ever won a contract on with McMahon. They're just like, we're getting way too much value out of that guy.
Right now, McMahon and Nyes have almost combined for 40 goals. They've won 53 games. I think it's 21 and 17, respectively. You know, I would say going into playoffs, they haven't had a fifth guy, let alone two other guys, who are scoring options like that in the past. You know, so this is, they're already ahead of the game with those two, but you lose one, that's true.
You give up Cowan, you give up Minton in a first rounder, it doesn't solve your cap crunch, right? It doesn't.
Well, it depends. It depends if you're giving those guys up for retention as well, like, or, you know, depending on what the contract is. I don't think you're getting retention on Dylan Cousins because he has so many years left. But
I mean, who, like, Yarncroc's a number, Camp's a number.
Those are good points.
Domi's a number.
Yes.
It's like those are the three numbers outside of your core guys.
Yarncroc's going to be interesting because is he going to have any games to play before they have to make a decision on him?
No. Well, I think I've seen it. We all know what you're going to get.
I don't think you can bring him back.
At all?
Well, at the end of the year, playoffs.
Well, I mean, what if he's healthy? No, you're not.
No, you're not.
What's Nick Robertson make? 825?
Nothing. So yes, 875.
There's a little bit of filler in the contract.
Yeah.
Morgan Rielly?
Yeah, you want to get to Berube's thoughts on Morgan Rielly?
Yeah, I'd love to.
He's been really good. I think tonight again, he had an earlier chance in the second two, going in back door. So he's definitely moving better and activating more and, you know, looking to produce more.
Great. Very encouraging.
Playing faster.
Yeah. Very encouraging.
He was too slow before.
But it's crazy that this is a tangible change that he just made, that they were just like, we need you to do this more, and he's doing it more, and it looks way better. It's nice that there seems to be a fix.
Well, it took him so long.
That's a great question.
I think out of the trip, the most encouraging things for me, or 6 points out of 8, which is great, And then number two is Morgan Riley looking somewhat like Morgan Riley.
Stolarz back and looks good.
Yeah, but I still think, I mean, you know, you're not pulling your hair out if it's just Wall and you got to work Stolarz back in. But, like, Morgan Riley playing the way he was before this trip was definitely a big issue for the team. So, hopefully, but I mean, if there's one guy that didn't want to break, right? Like, you finally get your mojo going back, you're finally feeling good, and then it's like you're gone
for
two. I bet
Morgan wants a
break.
Well,
for sure. But, like, you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I do. Starting to feel a little bit.
Yeah, he's starting to feel a little
better. Someone tweeted, you know, everyone's been making a big fuss about him having a newborn or whatever, and they're like, let's see if he's better on the road when he gets to sleep without the kid, you know, hotel room, and just see if he plays any better. It's like, oh, he's played way better.
can anyone defend the kid? We don't even know if the kid's, like, super quiet or it's screaming up all night.
Does he not have electricity? Is he churning butter at home?
Maybe the kid's knocking back 8 hours a day, you know?
I don't have a kid. I have no leg to stand on, but, like, you're making $7.5 million. Can't you get, like, some help with this? Like,
yeah, you can.
I don't know.
I couldn't.
Gotta think.
You know, to me, it's not like having a.
Let's get a bigger house.
Doesn't everybody
find
have
a room
kid in
that's
NHL?
Quiet? Seems
like it. Aren't all of them having any? I don't want to speak out of turn. I'm
not one that goes to a screaming baby as an excuse for having a poor half season.
But he did look good on the road. I mean, those hotel beds rock. So. Maybe you're just getting really good night's sleep.
It's pretty good.
Did you guys want to touch on the Leafs Four Nations related things?
Sure.
What did you want?
Well, what's Berube want to work on coming out of the break?
Penalty kill. He mentioned, oh, we can play it. Let's play it.
Right. Well, we want to just kind of, you know, keep focusing on our play without the puck for sure. Now there's areas our power plays improved dramatically, in my opinion. They're creating momentum even if they're not scoring. So our PK's got it was pretty good on the PK this trip, but we kind of, you know, given up a little bit goals lately on our PK, and we got to tighten that up for sure. Like I said, there's, you know, for me, it's when we get back playing again, it's going to be a grind. March is a real busy month, and it's going to be a grind. It's going to be a hard push because it's a very competitive league, and there's a lot of teams in it.
They go right into a back-to-back, I think, Carolina-Chicago.
Yeah, looking around the league, L.A. has it the toughest. L.A. has played the fewest games in the NHL, so they've played 53 times. So they have almost 30 games to go once they come back. That's hard. The Leafs are at 55. Most teams are 56, 57. So Leafs will have a fairly compact end-of-season schedule.
And just to mention the penalty kill thing, for the first time this year, the power play is ahead of the penalty kill.
Is that right?
Yep. The penalty kill is now, the power play is up to 12th, and I believe the penalty kill is 13th.
Yeah, power play since January is clipping around over 30%.
Yep. And the penalty kill has been leaking oil a little bit. You notice the lines from the Four Nations there, Kipper? Thought you might notice the first
one. Yeah, I did. It's like I told you guys. Nobody listens to me.
They're on side of the... It is...
No, Marner... McDavid got Marner.
McDavid, Reinhart, Marner.
That's what I told you guys.
For Canada.
Yeah, McDavid got Marner.
I got to say here, Kipper, this is high stakes for you. This is high stakes. This is high stakes for you because this is a massive, massive opportunity for Mitch Marner. And we've had a lot of conversations on this show where it's been contentious at times, which is great for radio. But, like, he needs to have a great tournament for, like, a lot of people in this market. Like, if he goes out there, it's not looking good. He gets bumped down. Like, it's going to be a massive inferno.
If he gets bumped down, they're not even playing against the U.S. in the final.
But not in Toronto. This is turning into a countrywide story. Like, we talk about Marner all the time here, but him being on that top line, the eyeballs are on.
This line is going to be so good.
So good.
So good.
I agree. Should be great. Should be really great.
The one takeaway
I'm just saying, high stakes for Kippy. That's all.
But he could poop the bed, and he's still going to make like $13 million next year. I mean, maybe in another uniform.
Well, yeah.
But like, I don't.
You don't think there's pressure to play on the top line for Team Canada?
So how is that any different from anyone else right now?
Well, because not everybody else is Mitch Marner. No,
well, that's just
a superstar of the kind most of, popular team.
It just proves my point that, like, that's the scrutiny this guy's been on that no one else has.
But that's what the money is for, playing in the biggest market in the country.
Yeah, but it should be the same for Matthews and Willie.
And it's going to be. Well, no, it's not going to be because it's Canada. They're not Canadian. But if they were Canadian, it would be. They're not Canadian. They play for the States. They play for Sweden. It's a totally different thing.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's birth certificate related or just
but
people
just... But you
can't
sit here and say that him on the top line of Team Canada with McDavid is not way added pressure and way added stakes for a guy that sometimes under pressure hasn't gone great. That's it. That's all I'm saying, buddy.
Listen, who knows how it's going to look? I have no idea. And maybe
I think it's going to look really good.
Maybe Reinhardt and McDavid get sent down to the second line, and then a couple of guys get moved up to Mitch Marner's first line. I don't know how it's going to shape up.
Oh, I love you, buddy.
You like that
but
one?
I want to read these lines out. Can I read the lines out? We'll get more into this in the Reinhardt, McDavid, Marner, decent. Stone, Crosby, McKinnon. Jarvis, who was in for Konechny, who was sick today. But Jarvis, Point, and Marchand. And your fourth line of Hagel, Sorelli, and Bennett. Your top pair is Taves, Makar, Shea Theodore, Drew Doughty, Morrissey, and Colton Pareko as your bottom pair. Sanheim is the seventh
Gotta
defenseman.
Gotta tell you, feels great to see Drew Doughty in there.
Yeah, Makar didn't give his number for him.
Makar didn't give his number
to Doughty.
Why would Makar have it first? He's Drew Doughty.
No, because he's a late ad. So Doughty's wearing 89 and Makar's wearing 8. Don't love that either. No. Anyways, we should go to break to get to Gordo, but there you go. There's the lines.
Can you imagine?
I don't know. Yeah, I should probably.
It's Drew Doughty. Norris Trophy. Stanley Cups.
Norris Trophy.
Hall of Fame coming.
Yeah.
Let's should've give him his number.
Should have given it up.
I'm sorry.
Is that a closed thing now, or is that can still be done by Wednesday?
No, I don't think so. I think he was wearing 89.
I bet you Doughty was like, I'm happy to be here. I'm late edition. I'm not.
There's no way they
maybe
didn't have
he offered it and he said no. Right. I'm going to wear another name.
I'm guessing that's what happened.
Yep.
How about throwing a puck in the corner and you throw in Jarvis, Konechny, Point, Marchand, Hagel, Sorelli, Bennett? Like, I'm not going to that corner. Just an absolute rabid, ferocious group of forecheckers there. Love it.
Lots to look forward to Wednesday.
Yeah. It's Sweden.
Canada, Sweden. Game one. Is it 8 p.m.?
8 p.m. Sneaky one for Canada.
Tough game.
That Sweden team. Seeing it laid out. Good mix of players on that team. Anyways.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. We'll bring in Stellectricity. Always great to have Gord Stellick join us when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Blake Murphy.
And I'm Matt Bonner.
Join us weekday mornings at 11 as we break down all things Toronto Raptors.
It's the Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, let's not hesitate because he's like must see TV podcast / YouTube /
whatever we have.
Gord Stellick joining us now. Sportsnet.ca does it all. Well, no, not really. You don't do anything on Sportsnet.ca. Forget that. Scratch that.
All the things you can say.
Sorry, I'm trying to build them up. Okay.
Well, now, you guys are all, Justin's on Sportsnet.ca. The last I did write for Sportsnet.ca was mostly obituaries that I was doing the last time. They were tributes at that. They were well done, well written. But hey, Kippy, you and I still with the Toronto Star, so I do a little bit of writing.
My last article was about how I thought four nations could come into play for particularly Austin and Mitch and Willie, and someone should be coming back with some juice, right? Do you like the fact that the Leafs have gotten, what, 6 out of 8 points on this road trip and they're shutting down now? Or how do you view this break overall for the Toronto Maple Leafs and the three Stars?
Yeah, well, I'm still, from that era where there was no such break. So I just feel you wind it down. Is it hard to wind it back up? I know it's been part of, and it should be, the whole thing about rest and getting breaks and what have you. Bruce Boudreau would talk about 2010, his Washington Capitol team never really got going again after the long Olympic break. So I guess every team is kind of equal in this boat. I look at it more, Kippy and Justin, about, as you mentioned, what a great challenge for three players, Austin Matthews, Willie Nylander, and Mitch Marner, to have playoff-style success. Like, one of them should be coming back with a gold medal. None of them have had any substantive playoff success with the Maple Leaf team, as we well know. So I'm viewing that particular part as a real positive. I think this Four Nations is a real positive for the Toronto Maple Leafs compared to probably most of the 31 other teams.
The only thing I do consider about it, Gord, is like they rely so much on their top guys. Is it a disadvantage that their top guys all have to go play hyper-competitive hockey while other teams who are maybe less top-heavy are resting their guys? Is the rest factor going to come back to bite the Leafs here, having them all involved?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I guess Washington's one team, maybe the only team that has nobody.
None, yeah.
In the Four Nations, and they're as good a team as there is in the NHL right now. I think this is different than the All-Star game. I think the All-Star game's a pain in the ass to appear to if you're among the elite players, and you do that every year. So I just think, and because this is so quick, I mean, this is like a kid's hockey tournament, right? And you're all of a sudden showing up, and you've checked into the hotel, and then you lose your first game, and you already start saying, we better consume all those beers tonight because I think we're going to be checking out early tomorrow and driving back. Because one team will be doing that quite early in this or that kind of mentality. So I just think, and I talk about it, they all want to play best on best. Whether you're Sidney Crosby, a veteran, whether younger guys like Matthews, Marner, Connor McDavid, I mean, they always have wanted to. So this, to me, is a great hors d'oeuvre, a cocktail party getting ready for the Olympics next year. So I really look at the positives of this.
Our boy Sammy here has declared Mitch Marner tradable if he doesn't look good with Connor McDavid here in the next week and a half. So in saying that, where is this style of play going to be different for you? What's it going to look like for Mitch Marner playing with a guy like Connor McDavid compared to Austin Matthews for you?
I think pretty much the same. I mean, geez, you're playing, and they get to play with a two-time first team, you know, winger as well. I mean, you know, great on great. Hey, it's more for a guy like Dahlin being able to play for a country, elite country, coming from the Buffalo Sabres, you know, to get that kind of experience. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Edmonton Oilers have incredibly skilled players. So I guess it'll be another experience. But, you know, a lot of times guys like Mitch don't get enough credit for what they bring to whoever's on the line as well. So I just think it's a chance. Be the star. Be one of the stars. Whether you're Willie Nylander not wearing a shirt post-game, or whether you're Mitch Marner for Canada, whether you're Austin Matthews, one of them is going to win it, unless Finland's a big surprise, like Team Europe was getting to the final in 2016. And hopefully they're one of the stars of that particular thing. And for the other two, hopefully, whether it's, you know, Mick Canada doesn't win, Mitch Marner the chance to play with McDavid. And I don't know. What do you get off playing with a guy who made it to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final? That intangible. We're looking for so many intangibles and how it'll factor in. I can't quantify it, but I can only think it'll be a positive.
The funny thing about being on Canada is, like, if the lines get shuffled, who are you going to get? Crosby? McKinnon? You know, like, there's no demotions. You're playing with unbelievable players no matter what. So those guys are going to be a big part of the Leafs' push for a Stanley Cup this season. It seems like there's probably another player or two who currently aren't on the roster who are going to be a part of it, Gord. You know, how desperate are they to go big? We talked before we had you on earlier on today about getting a Cousins or a Shen. Do you think there's enough there that they could avoid getting the big name, or are they going to have to pay a steep price to get quite a bit better here?
Yeah, I don't know what the market is. I think it's The time, you know, if you're going to have a first-round pick, the time of doing it for a hired gun is done, okay? The Ryan O'Reilly, Nick Foligno era of making that kind of trade is over and losing the player at the end. And, you know, you guys have written about in Sportsnet, just even Carolina now kind of looking at, if they have no guarantees on Mikko Rantanen, he could possibly be in play again, because it's just a lot to give up for a hired gun. So even like when they got McCabe, he had term, and then he decided to re-up. And I just think those are the more positive kind of deals to make. There's no question they need more secondary scoring. There's no question. Whether, you know, Max Domi does a great role. He can play any position on any line. That's a real positive. He played center last year in the playoffs. But those kind of guys have to give you more secondary scoring. The D-Core has to give you more secondary scoring. And a new player or two, you hope that's something that could add. So I know that Braden Shen's got term left, so that makes it attractive, that kind of player to have in Toronto. So, you know, and, you know, let's face it, Brad Treliving looking to probably make more of a mark this year and what he goes out to do. You know, it's the Vegas model. They're always aggressive, and they're aggressive, and their guys stay, you know, and I think that's one of the things you want to try to find. Of late, the best way to get a new contract is to get traded, because it seems like it's in the works before you get traded 1 or 2 days later, whether you're Marcus Pettersson in Vancouver or Borgen in New York, you know, you get a new contract.
The catch-22, Gord, is that even if they were going to go get a significant name, the cap won't allow it unless you move some money out. You mentioned Max Domi. He's just under $4 million. David Kampf is out there as well at $2.5 million, if I'm not mistaken. Are you okay losing these depth players to go get maybe a bigger fish at center ice?
Well, it'd be the kind of thing that you'd be, to your point, Kippy, it'd be the, again, are you able to get somebody in on the deal to be a banker that helps you do that? Because, no, I'd rather like to keep the depth pieces, you know, better than anybody. Well, that's one thing. First of all, your Ranger team, the depth you had in 94, but even looking at Berube's team, you know, just in 2019, like there were 15 different forwards that played the 12 spots. Like they moved in and out. So ideally, if you do the Bank of Chicago or the Bank of whatever, that would be a positive thing on my wish list, because you want to try to keep the role players that could play a role in the hopefully play a significant role or a positive role in the playoffs.
As they, you know, gear up for the other side of this, Craig Berube, this will be his first playoff push with the Leafs. What impact do you think new coaches, obviously Savard new as well, and Lambert, what impact will new coaches have in giving it, I don't know, make it feel different than past years maybe?
Well, not as big a role as the new goaltending. Like, yeah. If the new goaltending, you know, plays like they have played, and seeing Stolarz come back was maybe as encouraging as anything the first game back. So, as you know, Justin, you know, the coaches will say that, you know, find me a great coach, and more than likely you got great goaltending. And right now, that's a huge, huge plus for the Maple Leafs. So, the subtleties are intriguing, because there's this magic that Berube worked in 2019 as a coach, but the St. Louis Blues did as a team, but they only won one playoff round after that. So, you know, you had 5 years where it's not like it worked every particular year, but the newness seems to quite often hit on the first year. So all the subtleties, you know, I'm not aware of. Certainly, you know, about the fact that there's more, seems to be accountability when you talk about the North-South game, the two-way game. It's not like Sheldon Keefe totally ignored it. Is there more of a buy-in? There seems to be. It seems that the players alone, just by burst of maturity, becoming veteran players, are learning to be more and more complete players. So I've seen all those particular things, but the best thing I've seen is the goaltending, and when healthy, not elite defensemen, but the depth of the core 4D as being the biggest positives.
Gord, a few weeks ago, I wrote, maybe even further back, I wrote an article about how the Leafs should really go for winning the Atlantic or winning number one in the league. They were that close. Now we look at it, and although the Leafs were able to win 3 out of 4 on the road, I think the Tampa Bay Lightning ended up winning, I think, 5 of 6 in the last little while here. How important is the last 30 games here, 28 games, to go out there and still push for an Atlantic Division Championship regular season?
Yeah, Kippy, I have all your articles in a scrapbook, so I'll check later on and text you back what day you wrote that article.
They're not pinned in your bedroom?
Well, no, let's not go there. No, it's in a respectable reading place. I have my ascot and my sifter of brandy and my pipe, and I sit back and just look at scrapbooks.
So I love that.
Later on. But, you know, just see, that's a funny animal. What does it mean? Like, you know, the two best regular seasons, Boston a couple of years ago, Tampa Bay years before that, they got eliminated, upset in the first round of the playoffs, you know. So, but I do think in the Toronto situation, Kippy, you wrote about it. We've discussed with Justin, and I've maintained, like make a difference. Go out and kick ass again. Like, go out. Like, show you're the top team in the Atlantic Division. Florida doesn't need to do that, okay, as much. But go out and set a message that we're going to get home ice advantage. We're going to kick ass when at home as well. And we're going to have it. It's going to be a difference maker in the playoffs. So I really subscribe to that. And the one downside of late is they started sliding back. And you're right, Florida went on a run. Boy, Tampa Bay's gone on a run again all of a sudden. I know the Leafs eliminated Tampa Bay a couple of years ago, but, man, I don't like them being around either. So that I maybe the last third of the season they can pick that up again. You know, they've gotten rid of a lot of the most difficult travel and you know, really honed it in instead of worrying about Auston Matthews getting 60 or 70 goals. And that's not a shot against Auston. I just mean last year it became kind of a distraction. Let's just get whatever that Craig Berube style he wants you to play, which every coach wants you to win. That's the style they play. The idea is to win and do that and possibly get back where you are first in the Atlantic Division. I think that's an important goal this year.
All right, Gord, last one for me before we let you go. Focus back on the Four Nations if we can. I want to get your thought on where this tournament will matter, rank, how it'll feel compared to historical best on best. I was trying to imagine when the final buzzer goes, are gloves going in the air? Is it a championship to that level? What do you think this tournament is going to mean historically for hockey fans?
Well, maybe kind of like the Challenge Cup was best 2 out of 3 in 1979. You know, granted, Soviet Union won the last game against Team Canada, so it's not a good memory for those of us that remember it. I think it's going to be kind of a one-off, that it's going to be bigger and better. I think it's a start to get every 2 years some big international event, one being the Olympics, then 2 years later, at least a Six Nations Cup, and you know, maybe have a bit more of the. Maybe we'll find out you don't need the round robin. Maybe this will be the one that you said, actually, not having the round robin made it special. Otherwise, it's awfully quick. You know, it's like, you know, so it's like I said, it's the hors d'oeuvre. Like the Olympics, we know you got the round robin and you can have a clunker like they did in 02 against Sweden, for example, and go on. And that's kind of what we're used to in the World Juniors as well. So time will tell, but I don't think it'll resonate with big lights. I think the 2026 Olympics, particularly with the absence, you know, the last couple of times of NHL players, will be much, much bigger when you look back.
So it's an hors d'oeuvre, but it's not a Dante's Fiesta. Oh,
it's not a Dante's. Right? No, it's not. And I could have used one of those yesterday, Super Bowl Sunday as well. You know, I was just focused on, I'm eating better, but man, that football game, you kept going, seeing what's left in the kitchen. So,
needed, yes, a little something extra yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, the Dante's Fiesta is next year, Kippy, that's for sure.
Gordo, you always give us a little extra on this show.
I appreciate it. So anyway, we'll talk soon. Enjoy the Four Nations face-off, right? We're supposed,
yes,
to call it that.
Yeah.
So enjoy the FFF.
When the three of us show up on your doorstep for Wednesday night, 8 p.m. puck drop, is there anything we can bring?
Maybe a Dante's Fiesta. We could, looking forward to it. And FFF, I think that's the marks we got in school as well. So that's why we're on the broadcast side. So
fresh off their Dante's Fiesta. With extra peppers.
What a drop.
Thanks for doing this, buddy.
See you guys.
Thanks, Gordo.
That is Gord Stellick, Toronto Maple Leaf analyst for Sportsnet 590, the fan and former general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and provides nothing for Sportsnet.ca.
The Four Nations schedule, for those who don't know, Canada plays Wednesday, U.S. plays Thursday. Everyone plays Saturday night, which is going to be really cool. And
so,
then guess what? Canada plays at 1 p.m. on Family Day.
So anybody that goes 1 and 2 is basically out, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
not basically, out.
Out.
So if you lose on Wednesday.
That's a little pressure.
Yeah, you lose on Wednesday, then it's immediately must win USA Canada on Saturday night at the Bell Center.
They go 0-2. That's a disaster.
Summit.
The U.S.
Summit. You're calling a summit?
We just call it pre-summit. U.S. has Finland Thursday at 8. It's going to be awesome.
Did you hear that? They called up some kid I'd literally never heard of for their decoy.
Well, it's funny because...
Who's that, Finland?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think they have enough NHLers.
No. How good can they be, really?
But doesn't that make it best on best? They can call in non-NHLers? Didn't we have this conversation?
Their forward core is great, by the way. Their forward core is amazing.
Yeah.
Finland, but their decor looking like the zigzags. Also, just looking at the standings quickly before we go Leafs thing.
Tampa right there, 2 points back.
Looking like a Leafs-Tampa first round all of a sudden.
Totally have written off Ottawa now, right?
Oh, yeah. Hang the banner. They were once 2 points behind the Leafs. Hang the banner.
You take great joy out of sticking it to Ottawa fans.
And Vancouver.
Don't you?
We got in trouble on Saturday.
Well, not we.
No,
you.
Me. Me and Bacchus are in trouble.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, they're not
good
fans
to hear.
To us.
Good to hear. All right. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Jason Buchla, Pro Hockey Group, former NHL scout, will join us. Don't go away.